IBEC, the voice of Irish business.
Well, what's the story? A commonly heard greeting in Ireland that offers a nod to our culture of storytelling. This love of sharing anecdotes has long been woven into the fabric of the Irish people. The Irish emphasis on telling stories can be seen through our literature, our poetry, our national music, our wit and our humour. There's a high value placed on a well-told tale in Ireland. But what does this matter to diversity and inclusion? Stories open our minds to different cultures and backgrounds. It can impart lessons, foster a sense of community, unveil forgotten histories, or it can simply entertain. For a good story to be told, there needs to be someone listening. Sounds simple, but at the heart of storytelling, there's a personal story and an active listener. This basic and open sharing of active listening is really the foundations of diversity, a real willingness to understand others and listen. This podcast will explore this in more detail. Professional storyteller with Story Seeds and former storyteller in residence with Kerry's Writers Museum, Maria Gillen, will share an insight into our history and how this tradition has remained today. Dawn Lean, trainer with Lean Power, will delve into the listening and understanding. And finally, diversity inclusion lecturer with Carroll College, activist and community leader, Stephanie McDermott, will share how the skills we gained through storytelling can support diversity on the ground. Maria's going to kick us off as we reflect on the Irish people and our eloquent way of speaking, so full of colour and metaphors and well known for our humour. Can you tell us how we grew to become such a nation of storytellers?
Cadé an scéal, Sam. I think it's just in our blood. You know, I think that storytelling is just in our blood, and how lucky are we that that is the case. So Storytellers of Ireland, which is the umbrella organisation for the storytellers here, are joined with a group called the Federation of European Storytelling. And they look on us with a little bit of envy because we have an unbroken line of storytelling stretching back across the millennia. And of course, I suppose I would have to talk from my own experience. So my mother was a Scéalaíocht, her mother and my great-grandmother, and I met all three, and I'm lucky enough to have had stories from all three of those. And I operate within the festivals of Ireland. I tell stories to our lovely visitors from the USA, which is very important. There's a huge strength of connection between us and the diaspora of Ireland, because they keep the memories of Ireland through their stories and through the traditional music. I suppose we're just very lucky to have a living art of stories here in Ireland.
And kept alive to this day, which is a great tradition to hold. Can you tell us how this manifests in our everyday now?
Absolutely. So as a storyteller myself, I work right across the different genres of story. So we would have the Ban Fasa stories, we would have the myth and legend stories, you have the personal stories. You do, of course, have the stories that we change, because shape-shifting comes from the storytelling. And it's very important in terms of paradigm shift, no matter whether you're in community or in the corporate environment, to play with the tools of storytelling. And community is very important to me. So I grew up in Mayfield, Gortalling, and even in that there is a story, because before the houses were built in Gortalling, it was called Baile na Mocht. So it was because there was a leper colony there back in the day, and there is a huge resurgence at the moment going on about Irish names, because the Irish names tell us the history, and that's another story.
It is absolutely then a history we want to keep alive. And stories are also so important for us understanding who we are and understanding who other people are. How can our experiences with storytelling help us connect with other people, to kind of open our minds and to be more open to other people's stories?
Well, I'm absolutely privileged for this year to have been a travelling storyteller. I was in Marrakesh in February, where we met 80 tellers from all over the world. And what was amazing were the stories that were the same. We've learned that you have two of these pointing to my two ears and one of those pointing to my mouth, which is a saying in storytelling. So it's very important to listen. And if you're listening to somebody whose accent is new to you, you might have to slow them down. You might have to listen more deeply, you know, and then also we try to find out what are the common places between us. So do you, for example, have stories of creatures of the sea? So we have the silkies and the mermaids and all of this, you know, and somebody else might have dragons in the sea, you know. So you learn that first, and then you learn that there are so many similarities between the stories. For example, did you know that they had a Bradawn Fasa, or the Salmon of Knowledge, in Japan? And it's exactly the same story.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's very interesting. And a great point around kind of that importance of focusing on your listening and not just sharing your story. And we know that the storytelling traditions in Ireland started orally. We were passing them on. We were all listening and sharing with each other before we ever wrote anything down. And I think it's a fundamental skill of storytelling to be able to listen, to be able to immerse yourself in someone else's story and truly listen. Dawn, would you be able to tell us a little bit more around that?
Yeah, thanks, Sam. So, I mean, fundamentally, people connect with people and we connect on a human level. So whether, you know, we're introducing ourselves to somebody on our first day at work, whether we're building workplace relationships, whether we're networking, we are, in fact, telling our story in some shape or form. And, you know, going back to that aspect of being relational and connecting with people, we want to hear other people's stories. You know, that's part of the reason that there are so many chat shows on TV, on radio, why there's been such an upsurge in listeners to podcasts. We want to know about people and we want to hear their story. And really, business is all about people. So whether it's the people who actually are responsible for running our business, our employees who actually are the business, whether or not it's our customers, our clients listening to understand and meet their needs, or it's a marketing campaign, it's really all about that human connection and that listening to people. And I was reminded earlier on, I was listening to the radio, listening to News Talk, and they had a guest on who had been one of the Dunstore strikers back in the 1980s. And I think it's really worth just reflecting on the fact that she said, which I'd never realised before, she said that initially the decision to protest about handling South African goods was born of a frustration with management in the store not listening to the employees and not listening to the employees' concerns and issues. And that initially they took this on as a way to cause that sense of frustration because they didn't feel heard. But the other thing that I really took from her conversation was that as they protested and as they picketed outside, they met a gentleman who had been a victim of apartheid and heard his story. And she said, as a result of that, that really strengthened their resolve, their commitment to the cause, hearing firsthand someone's experience. And they ended up being out for just short of 3 years. So I think, you know, when we really, really listen deeply to people, it can change our perception of the issue. It can change our perception of the person that we're speaking with or engaging with themselves. And particularly when it comes to issues of diversity and inclusion, we're not one-dimensional. You know, all of us are made up of different aspects and different facets. And that concept of intersectionality is so important when it comes to diversity. And storytelling and listening to people's stories is a way of including that and getting to know them, getting to know so much more about them, which helps to build and develop relationships.
And I think people know they should listen. And it sounds like a simple ask. But in a busy world when HR managers are dealing with skill shortages, where it's a constantly active world where you're getting push notifications and there's news coming at you all the time, how do you slow down and build rapport and listen in a way that you can truly understand the message that people want to share?
So I think we all think that we're great listeners. Everybody thinks they're a great listener. And as somebody who worked in HR for many years, I've interviewed more candidates than I can possibly remember. And when you ask people what their strength is, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, I'm a great listener. But the reality is that we're not. You know, very often, as you say, we're busy. We have conflicting and competing demands on our time and on our attention. And very often we think we're listening to somebody. And actually what we're doing is we are trying to figure out where the conversation's going, what do they want from it, where, you know, what point are they trying to make here. We're thinking about how they're wrong, what we want to tell them, how we want to interject, or we're trying to solve a problem for them. Or in the worst case scenario, we're thinking about all the other things we have to do when this conversation concludes. So very often, first of all, our mind is not still and focused, and we haven't brought our energy to bear on the conversation. And when I trained as a coach a number of years ago, as I say, my background was as a HR director. And so I was used to problem solving, and I was used to putting the fix in and strategizing and telling people what to do and telling people the best way to solve issues. And I found it really hard to just button it, you know, just to actually sit back and to listen to someone without interjecting, without advising, without telling them what I thought they ought to do or why they had this issue or why they had this problem. But when we actively listen, it creates a space. And I'm still, years later, I'm still amazed at when I want to say something and I just hold myself for a couple of moments and create that pause for a few seconds, what actually can emerge from the other person in that space in the conversation. So for active listening, I guess it's really about how we connect, as you say, with the person. It's about giving them the fullest of attention. And that's, you know, in terms of our mind, but it's also in terms of our body language. So, you know, again, if it's virtual, if it's a phone call, if it's in person, where we can, eye contact is important. You know, as we said earlier, tone, language, pace, all of those things impact on how somebody feels we're listening to them or not listening to them. And there's a wonderful book by Nancy Klein, Time to Think, and she talks about creating that space for people. And she reflects on her own childhood and on the, I suppose, the conversations that she would have had with her mother. And she said that was one of the greatest gifts her mother gave them as children, was the space to think out for themselves. She gave them that attention of listening, quality listening, and then she gave them the space to continue to figure things out for themselves. So when we want to go deeper, it's about more than, I suppose, what we call active listening. It's about attunement, and attunement is very much the concept of being attuned to the other person, of being fully present for them, of meeting them where they are, and of being on a level with them, in step with them, not trying to, you know, progress ahead of them and not lagging back in the conversation. So when we go deeper in our conversations with people, we really give them the permission to express, and we learn a lot more from them by giving them that space.
That's really interesting, Dawn, and it's amazing to hear how the skills of sharing your story are the same skills that will be there to facilitate, to listen to somebody else's story. And it is around that kind of giving people the space to share their stories. And hearing of the power of telling stories today and the connection that can build. Stephanie, can you share a little bit around how you or others have shared or used these skills?
Yeah, I would just like to follow on from Dawn there for a second in terms of the active listening, and how that if people are given the space to engage with the listening, but also it encourages critical thinking. And that's what's really important, because we listen, and I absolutely agree with Dawn. I think we all think we're good listeners, but we're not actually engaging. We listen, but we're not hearing, or we're listening, but we're not understanding. And it's not until we actually really listen and really engage and take that time to be with people and to hear people's stories, that is the time where we discover a motivation, I think, within ourselves to do something, to act. And that would be the process. For instance, I have students in Carlow College, and every year we have an assignment, and we are all encouraged to reflect. So part of the assignments are reflective journals. And year upon year, I get these reflective journals in, and very often, you know, there's a process to be followed. So you describe what you heard in the classroom, then your feelings, then you analyze it a little bit, and then you make some action plans. So now that you have this knowledge, what are you going to do with it? And year after year, they would come in. But in the last couple of years, what I have tended to bring people into the classroom where they're telling their stories. So, for instance, we have had travellers in, we've had members of the Rohingya community in to talk about their experiences of, for instance, travellers and marginalisation and the oral storytelling tradition and all of that. And just one interesting thing that I didn't realise over Traveller Visibility Week just recently, I was talking to one of the travellers that was in Carlow, and she said that people often criticise travellers for having plastic flowers in their homes. And she said, but why would you give people flowers that were going to die? So you give them flowers that are going to live forever. And I never thought about that before. You know, I never thought about that before. So it's the same when, you know, when any nationality might come in that has a story, and we all have stories. We all have stories. And if we can get people to put away their phones and just listen, don't take notes, just listen. And that is powerful. And that comes back to me when I know that, okay, they have listened, they have tried to make sense of it, they have questioned their own biases, questioned perhaps the way they may judge in the past. And now they see quite clearly, you know, these are people. We need to listen to their stories, because listening to stories, it's a medium that will help us understand. And that's really all we are striving for. If we all understood a little bit more, there'd be a lot less tension in the world.
And as an academic, a community leader, an activist, I'm sure you've heard many a story that has moved you. Can you share one today that you thought was particularly impactful for you?
Well, I have a great, I suppose, sympathy with the Rohingya community. Now, the Rohingya are a Muslim minority in Myanmar that have been discriminated against for years. In fact, there was a genocide, and it's recognized as a genocide by the UN. So since, say, 2015, the Rohingya have been recognized as the most persecuted group in the world. And we're very fortunate to have 70 people from the Rohingya community living in Carlow. So out of that has come Rohingya Action Ireland. You know, we have developed this organization. So we constantly lobby. We very much try to have Rohingya visibility, if you like. So within the group, Rohingya women are excellent henna painters. So we've set up a group of henna painters, and they go around to different, you know, perhaps children's parties or hen parties or whatever. Beautiful henna paintings. So, and that makes the connection, because there's something about putting your hand out and someone painting something on your hand, and just that connection in terms of it's such a lovely feeling. It's like, you know, a little bit of a manicure. But they start talking, where are you from? You know, are your parents here? All of that. So that's another way of connecting. But it is a way of bringing their stories to life. You know, this is my background. I came from a refugee camp in Bangladesh. I'm now in Carlow, but my family are still behind. You know, all of that. So it's really stories are powerful. But, you know, as Dawn and as Maria said, if we can take the time to listen, and we all have such busy lives, and most of the time when we're hearing people, what we are doing is anticipating our reaction, which loses everything. So that's part of what we do.
And I think they're very lucky to have someone like you willing to center their story and to put forward their culture and to share it with us today. Your experience and your passion really shines through. And for all of our speakers, how clearly you understand people's stories, how you can promote empathy and consideration for others and their experience has been very apparent. The skills we've heard today through the commitment to share and understand, to be open, to value others, will stand as a strong foundation for anyone listening to this podcast who is interested in diversity and inclusion. To help your organisation in their development of diversity and inclusion, regardless of where you are on your journey, IBEC hosts a diversity forum that facilitates best practice sharing, that promotes lived experience, that hosts experts in the field. We also have a diversity hub that has your guidance documents. It has insights on a variety of different areas of diversity and inclusion, which is open to all IBEC members to go in there and to learn some more and to progress their journey. So for today, however, I'd just like to thank our speakers today, to Maria, to Dawn and Stephanie, and thank you very much for all of you for listening.
Thank you, Samantha.
IBEC, the voice of Irish business.